Welcome to the UniConnect podcast. We're here to keep you connected to all things university.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for the 13th episode of our UniConnect podcast. Today we're going to be focusing on money, so I'll be interviewing Leeds Beckett University. The majority of my questions will be about student finance, but we'll also be briefly covering budgeting and part-time work as well. Student finance is a huge part of the university application process, and it's also a part of the process which gets a lot of questions. There's often a lot of concern, a lot of worry around applying for student finance. So I really hope that the episode today and the questions that we discuss help you and help you to feel a little bit better about applying. I would just like to confirm before we go any further that the information we discuss today is in relation to Student Finance England. If you are applying outside of England, then you will need to look at the student loan companies for your area. We are also discussing the student loan process for UK students. If you are currently an EU student, you should be able to apply for student finance still if you've lived in the UK for at least 3 years and you have settled or pre-settled status. And so the majority of the information that we discuss will apply to you, but I would just double check these details, double check these facts on their website, and be sure that all of the information we're discussing does apply to you today. So before I move on to the interview, just to give a quick overview of the student finance process. Once you apply, you'll be asked to create a login, as you would with most other websites, and then you'll be asked for some personal details and some background information. So if, for example, your name, your date of birth, your address. You'll then be asked what your plans are for living at university. So are you going to be living at home still, or will you be moving into rented accommodation? You'll also be asked for some information on your household income. So if you as the student are kind of your main source of income in your household, then this would fall to you. But if you are living in a family setting at the moment where your parents or your carers are the main individuals bringing money into the house, then these questions will then be passed over to them. The information disclosed in this section is what Student Finance England will use to make an informed decision about how much money you are entitled to. You can find lots of information about how much money you're entitled to, the different factors that they take into consideration, and any other money that you might be entitled to on Student Finance's website. But for now, if you stay tuned, we'll move on to our interview with Leeds Beckett University, and we'll have a good chat with Rob about some different parts of the process. Hi Rob, thank you for joining me today from Leeds Beckett University. We're going to be discussing student finance, which is a confusing topic and often a source of worry for a lot of students. So to start off with, can you just talk us through the process of applying?
Yes, it's perfectly natural to be worried about these things if you've certainly never taken an application like this before. So you can find the student finance registration information on the .gov.uk website. And what you do is when you confirm your details as you register, you'll need a valid UK passport. If you don't have one of those, you may be asked to provide your birth certificate, a valid email address, your bank details, your national insurance number, which I don't know how often your students have used, but that's something you're going to be using a lot more in future. And that's obviously just for you. And that's how they know how much you're earning in future. Your university details, the course details. Now, it's worth mentioning you don't have to make the final decision on where you're going at the point of the applying for student finance. That can happen much later, and you can adjust that in the application scheme. It's just that so they know where you're going to potentially heading up to. I think the more concerning area area that people tend to have is the household income information, and that may be your parents' or carers' information, it may be your partner's, or you may be living alone. And there is support to guide you through all these processes as well. And actually, it's as user-friendly a system as you're going to get. And I think until you embark on the process, we can always have these seeds of doubts about how these things are going to go. But I speak to you with confidence that actually once you begin the process, it's designed in a way to make it as user-friendly and as supportive for you as it possibly can be, and should be and will be.
Thanks, Rob. Students normally apply for both a tuition fee loan and a maintenance fee loan. Please, can you confirm the difference between the two?
Yeah, okay. So the tuition fee loan covers the whole cost of the course, and that's paid directly to the university. The maintenance loan is delivered on a number of different issues, on whether you move away from home or whether you're staying at home. And so the system is designed actually that if you're from a family of a lower income, it could be your parents or carers, or you may be with your partner or indeed on your own, then you should be entitled to a higher loan and often a thing called a bursary, which is another sum of money that's gifted to you to support you. It's the same for those you may have a disability or those of you with kids that you care for. And there's a number of different things that are available to make sure that we can support you in your university experience. And that's what that maintenance loan covers.
Thanks, Rob. So just to clarify, the maintenance fee loan is what you use to live. So that's what you can use to pay for your rent, for your food, for your bills, for example. And it does vary the amount that you get, dependent on the factors and the information that you disclose on your application form. As myself and Rob have already mentioned, there are other bursaries, other loans available to certain students. Rob, where are students best going to find out more about what they're entitled to?
There's a wide variety of options that students can go to find out some more information about student finance. We have the Student Finance England website. And actually, there's an awful lot on the internet that you can find. But Student Finance England would be the first port of call, so you can make sure you get all the information that you need to know about. But every university has some student money advisors, and certainly at Leeds Beckett, we have a fantastic team that do that. They're available on open days. And please, don't be afraid to ask, what can I get? What access to support? And I think sometimes it feels counterintuitive to do that. But if you don't ask, you don't get. And I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, once again, as I said in my previous answer, we want to be able to support you. So as many questions you can ask about this, the better. So please do speak to the universities about this. Also, there's a variety of different options on the internet, including Martin Lewis. And I think what he does is some great stuff for those of you who may have parents or carers or family members that are concerned about the next step to higher education that you're going to take and the cost implication to that, because he comes in from a variety of different angles. So I also recommend his work as well.
Okay, great. Essentially, just do your research. You don't want to end up missing out on anything. So there will be information on the university's website specifically. There will be information on Student Finance website. And as Rob mentioned, you can ask to speak to the finance advisors at the universities you're applying to as well. And we do also have our welfare team based here at college. So moving on, Rob, the word loan often makes people a little bit nervous, and there's often a bit of concern around it. So can you just provide us with a bit more information on the process of paying back the loan, please?
Yeah, okay. So once you leave university, you only repay when you're earning, £2,214 a month, which works out at £26,575 a year. And this is one of the great things to try and explain over a voice recording. The money you pay back is 9% over that amount. Okay. So if you're earning below that threshold, which does actually increase from April, 2021 from this year, if you're paying, whatever you earn over that threshold, it's 9% of that. So if you're earning below £26,575 a year, you don't pay back anything. And then it's on a sliding scale based on what you earn. So if you're earning £35,000 a year, a very nice salary that you would probably be earning a few years after graduating anyway, then you'll be paying back £758 in total from that. Okay, so that just gives you an idea. We're talking very small sums of money here, if we're quite honest with you. So that's over the course of the year. And if you look at how much a mobile phone contract is, all of this is done. If you're employed by a company or a university, or you generally have an employer, this will all take place within your payroll. And that's why we have the NI number. Slightly different if you're self-employed. You have to declare it in different ways. But it's really, really important to remember that what we're talking about is it's not vast sums of money here. And that, rather interestingly, any money that you may owe after 30 years is automatically wiped off. Okay, so when we talk about the cost of university, I think we've got to be aware that there's a difference. There's the cost of university, yes, how much fees and cost of living, and then actually how much are you paying back? Because how many people will be paying back the full amount after 30 years? Of course, the system's not really old enough to know that at the moment. But we know a vast number of people will not be paying back that sum of money. But it's all taken care of through the system for you, through your payroll, at a manageable amount of money.
Thanks, Rob. That was really helpful. I think just to highlight the key points from that, it's important to remember that you won't be asked to start paying back your loan as soon as you graduate. You do need to be earning over a certain amount. That certain amount is currently £26,575 a year, although that does tend to increase each year. So, you know, that is a good wage, and it is a wage where you will be able to afford to make a small payment to Student Finance England each year. And if you ever find yourself in a position where you can't afford to pay back your loan, either A, your wage drops below that threshold, or B, you find yourself unemployed, then your loan payments would stop automatically. And as Rob also confirmed, your loan does get written off after 30 years. You can find lots more information about this online. So if this is something you'd like to know more about, I suggest you do your research and have a little look online as well. So moving on to the next question, Rob. Student finance can be a daunting process. What would you say to anyone who's feeling a bit worried about applying?
Quite simply ask. Talk to us. We will guide you through this process in any way that we possibly can. And of course, it's natural, because for many people, when we talk about this loan, and actually, we have to question whether, you know, I think sometimes we're better off referring to it. People say it's like a tax. It's just a graduate contribution. This is, you get financial support from the government, and you pay it back over a course of time. But for many people, this is the first time they've undertaken anything like this. It's like when you get your first mortgage and things like that. So it's perfectly natural to be worried about it. So please do speak to us about this. There's loads of information online. And remember, you are not alone. There are thousands of people doing this every year. We know what we're doing. Student Finance England know what we're doing. And there's no question too daft to anything you're worried about. Please do speak to the universities and we will advise you. But also Student Finance England will support you. And I think social media is a great tool in relation to this, asking questions via Twitter and Facebook. So there are a number of avenues for you. But whatever it is, whatever might be concerning you, please don't bottle it up. Be prepared to speak to us about it. We're not going to judge you for it. We understand the reservations that you may have about things, and we want to support you in any way we possibly can.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, absolutely. It is just so important to ask. Don't sit there worrying. Don't sit there confused about a question on your application, or confused about, you know, the amount that you've been sent through and wondering what it means. And just ask us, ask the universities you've applied for. You can ask your staff, you know, within the colleges, within the schools that you're studying at currently, and you can ask Student Finance as well. And yes, going through social media is a really good idea. So once you have your loan, Rob, the most important thing to do is look after it, to manage it well, and to budget. Do you have any tips for students when it comes to managing your money at university?
I think one of the great skill sets you learn at university is managing your money, actually. And quite simply, the best advice I can give you is about transparency and honesty, being honest with yourself. So using your banking applications and making sure you're keeping an eye on your expenditure. And you can, many of the banking apps now, you can plot what you're spending your money on. And so don't be, a lot of people put their head in the sand when it comes to finance, and just be aware, a lot of people now have standing orders and they pay themselves small amounts of money just to tide them over. We all have different techniques, and there are a lot of people that can plan budgets. My wife can do that. I'm not very good at that. We all have strengths and weaknesses with these things. But the most important thing is not to be daunted by it or to try and hide from anything. Just be as proactive about these things as you possibly can, because it makes a huge difference. And so sometimes, you know, for me, it's about, can you cook? Can you cook? You know, that's one way of driving. You see the sort of money that students are spending in various fried chicken establishments across the UK. It's writing sums of money. And actually, you know, can you cook? All those kind of things like that. Do you have access to a family Netflix account, a family Spotify account? All these things that somebody else can be paying for that you can utilize. Whatever happens, we have, I mentioned our student money teams earlier. If you find yourself in any difficulty or you want some advice, please do come forward and have a chat with us. They're brilliant, these teams. They're so used to dealing with all these things that can sit you down and make sure you're in a great position, because I think a lot of people are naturally daunted by money. But it would certainly be, for me, the number one thing is just keep an eye on those bank statements and know what you're dealing with.
Yes, thanks, Rob. I think the most important thing is just being aware and making sure that, like you said, you're not kind of hiding away from it. You are understanding of how much money you are getting, how much money is coming out of your bank account. And nobody wants to be getting to the end of the month or the end of the term and finding out that they've run out of money, because that will just be a very stressful situation and it will take away from the enjoyment of university. Once you find out how much maintenance loan you're entitled to, you can then take a look at how much your student accommodation is going to cost. You can deduct that from, you know, how much money you're going to be getting. And then from that, you will get a much better picture of how much money you're going to have left after your rent and after your bills. And then from that, you can make a decision as to how much money you want to spend on food and how much money you want to spend on your social life, for example. So it is something that you can start planning before you begin in September. As you mentioned as well, Rob, there are teams at the universities available for support. And if anybody did find themselves in a really difficult situation, then you can speak to those teams. And there are often emergency funds available as well. And thinking about cooking is also a great tip. You know, it is very easy to waste money sometimes. And if you are able to, cook some basic healthy meals using some cheap ingredients, thinking about where you're shopping, things like that, that can really help to bring your weekly and your monthly budget down. In our previous episode on this podcast, Transitioning into HE, I interviewed a student from the University of Leeds, and she gives us some great tips on that episode on how she budgets her money at university. So if this is something that you want to know more on, I definitely recommend you go back to that episode as well and you take a listen to Megan's answers. So moving on, nearly at the end now, but I did want to ask you, Rob, kind of leading on from the whole budgeting and managing money thing, a lot of students choose to get part-time work. In your opinion, what is the best type of part-time work for students? And do you have any tips for students who think they might need to look for work whilst they're studying?
Yeah, so a couple of answers to this, really. I think for me, it's, can you get a job on campus, in the student union, in the shop, potentially in the bar? Because then you're still part of your university environment. They're aware why you're there and want you to concentrate on your studies, but you're not missing out on anything. Whereas I think sometimes if you get yourself a job in your local department store or Witherspoons or something like that, they're not necessarily interested in your experience. But that would be the other answer, that I would want to find the right employer who understands that you are an undergraduate student at university. So therefore, yes, their sandwich shop is their most important thing, because that's their livelihood, that's their business. that doesn't mean they expect it to be yours. Now, that's not to say you should be flippant and not turn up for shifts and stuff like that. Of course, there's the professional element to it. But I think it's finding the employer that understands that there are going to be certain times a year where you may have exams or lots of coursework to do, or you may have an art project to deliver on, and that provide you with that flexibility. And I think what you'll find is actually, because more people are going to university than ever before, and somewhere like the city of Leeds or Manchester, you know, these are student-led economies. So I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by that. But if you can get a job on campus, I think that's probably the best place to start.
Thanks, Rob. I think I definitely agree with you there. If you are interested in getting part-time work at university, the Students' Union is always a fantastic place to start. They offer lots of different positions, from being a student ambassador to potentially working in the shops or the bars or the cafes, which you often find in a lot of student union settings. They do often have a really good understanding of the fact that obviously you're there to study a degree. They can be a lot more flexible, a lot more understanding of your schedule. So that is definitely something to look into. However, obviously, if you currently have a part-time job at the minute, for example, maybe you're working for a chain restaurant, a department store, it is always really good to look at whether you can get a transfer if you are moving maybe from one city to another, and that could save you a lot of time and a lot of stress as well. But part-time work is something that a lot of university students do, so that they can kind of bump up their monthly earnings and give them a bit of extra spending money. It's always great as well, because you are keeping up with adding to your CV, keeping up with work experience. The only thing that I would add is just make sure that the part-time job doesn't override your schedule and doesn't actually take away from the reason you're at university, which is to firstly do your degree and do your degree to the best of your abilities, but also to have fun and to socialise and to take part in new things as well. So leading on to the final question, Rob, what was your favourite meal at university?
Yeah, there's probably answers I should give to this that involve, you know, creating things out of pasta and fresh fish and going to markets and negotiating. It's probably like super noodles on toast or something absolutely vile and carbohydrate ridden like that. I couldn't cook when I went to university. Not brilliant now, but that's certainly something if I had my time again. And that's why I advise people, can you cook? Because, I ate an awful lot of rubbish when I was at university, and that's not good for your brain power as well as your waistline. So, it was certainly the thing I could cook. The favourite meal I cooked, I actually did a coq au vin once, and nobody got food poisoning or died. So I think that was quite impressive.
That's great. Thanks, Rob. I think if nothing else has come out of this episode, hopefully it has highlighted the importance of practicing a few cheap, healthy, quick recipes before you go to university. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really, really useful. I hope that everyone listening has found it useful. And please stay tuned next to listen to a summary of the episode and some top tips. To summarise what we've discussed today, I think my three main tips would be: number one, do your research; number two, ask questions; and number three, be prepared. So firstly, when it comes to research, everything that myself and Rob have discussed today can be found online. So you can research Student Finance England, or you can look on the university's website, where they'll normally have information about any additional bursaries, any additional grants that they offer. So if you do think you're entitled to anything extra, please do look now. But in regards to just understanding the whole student finance process, how to apply, how to check your eligibility, for example, that can all be found on the Student Finance website. And UCAS also offer a lot of useful information on their website too. In regards to asking questions, I think it's just really important to remember that everyone is here to help you. The universities want to help you. They want to make sure that you've got your student finance set up so you can speak to the universities that you've chosen on UCAS directly. You can speak to staff at college or school, and they will assist you as much as they can as well. And you can also get in touch with Student Finance. It's also important to just be prepared. So you want to be thinking about applying for Student Finance now. Normally, Student Finance will set a date in May, and they recommend that all students try to apply by this date so that you're guaranteed to get your money for when you begin university in September. So don't put it off. Get logged in now. Get starting with your application so that you can apply as soon as possible. Once you get your Student Finance letter back to confirm how much you're eligible for, that's when you can begin planning how much you're going to spend on accommodation, and you can have a real think about budgeting, managing your money, and being prepared ultimately leads to kind of being less stressed, and leading to a more enjoyable start to university. If anyone's got any questions about that, please do contact us at our Instagram page at LCC Uni Connect, and we're happy to answer any extra questions that you have.
That's it for this episode, but keep connected in the meantime and follow us on our Instagram account at LCC Uni Connect. And we look forward to you tuning in next time. Bye.